Hi, I'm Sean McKenna, and this is Talon Ireland, and we're from the Windows Phone Application Platform team. Today we're here to talk to you about Unite, which is a game that we built for Windows Phone 7 that you can get in the Windows Phone Application Marketplace today. It's free, so you should go and grab it now if you've got your fancy new Windows Phone. And what we wanted to talk about today was just some of the topics that we thought were interesting as part of the development of Unite on the platform, and some things that may help aspiring game developers out there get started with their game development. So some of you may have seen a couple months ago I did a video with Greg Hogdahl, who is another developer on our team, about the accelerometer and the accelerometer helper, which is a component that's now out there available as part of the Level Starter Kit, which you can find in the App Hub at developer.windowsphone.com. And that's actually a component that Talon used as part of the development of Unite, right?
Yep. I did use the accelerometer helper. It was, you know, really a drag and drop situation. It was easy to use, just like they kind of mentioned in the video, and you really can just take it and put it into your game and just kind of hook it up, and there's not really much code you have to do with the accelerometer, so it was easy to use.
So as we talked about with Greg, the accelerometer gives you some information about the orientation of the device, right? As you're moving it around, you're getting basically force information relative to the ground, right? So
yes.
What do you do with that information? What does that data help you do in a game like Unite?
So in Unite, I mean, Unite's, as most people can probably tell, it's kind of just like a simple, you know, ball rolling game. And so we can change the gravity using the accelerometer information, which allows kind of all the objects in the world to kind of move around based off of that gravity. So it's one of the easiest parts of the physics engine to just kind of manipulate to kind of get that cool behavior where you can access the accelerometer and kind of show it off in an interesting way.
So you talked about a physics engine. Can you just give, for people that haven't done game development before, just kind of a two-minute overview of what a physics engine does and what it, you know, how it helps?
So, I mean, the physics engine, a lot of games don't even, at its kind of roots, a physics engine at the very least gives you things like the ability to detect when collisions happen between objects and things like that, so that you at least have the ability to play sound effects when things hit walls, for them to bounce off of walls and things like that. In the case of this game, you know, because we're using the accelerometer, we're able to manipulate gravity so that the objects react accordingly as the accelerometer is kind of moving, or the device is moving according to like the XY plane.
And so is the physics engine something that you wrote as part of the game, or is it something that you were able to pick up from somewhere?
So we used a port of the Box2D engine, which is an open source C++ engine. C# port of that, which is Box2DX, which is an open source engine as well. Very easy to use. I mean, Box2D has a big following online, so there's a lot of people that are still using it, and it gets updated constantly. So it's a really great physics engine to use. Very, very easy to use, and lots of people use it. So
All right. It's
easy to kind of get in there and figure it out.
So people should just go out and Bing for Box2D?
Yeah, I mean, if you want a physics engine, it works great on the phone. There weren't many changes that were required to get it to work on the phone. It performs great. You didn't really have to worry about much there, which is great for a mobile device. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, there's a couple of different open source options out there. Box2D is definitely a really good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that people may not know about Unite is actually that it's built in Silverlight, right? Not XNA.
Yes.
And the reason we did that is, you know, as most people know, we've got two options for developing for Windows Phone. And generally what we tell people is, if you want to build a game, most likely you're going to go XNA. If you want to build an application, most likely you're going to go Silverlight, right? That's kind of the basic decision tree, if you will, for how you build on the platform. But what we wanted to do as part of developing some applications internally is see if we can push the boundaries of Silverlight and really help define that gray area in the middle where, you know, it's maybe a simple 2D casual game. Does it make sense to build it in Silverlight, or really should people go towards XNA? So can you talk a little bit about building this type of game in Silverlight and some of the things that you learned?
Yeah, so building in Silverlight, I mean, there's certainly pros and cons to building in Silverlight versus building in XNA. Silverlight offers you a lot of good, like, things that allow you to do fast iteration. So being able to, like, style controls, things like menus and stuff are really easy because they offer you animations, easing, some things like that are really, really quick to put together just within a couple hours. In XNA, nothing's there provided for you to do that, so you kind of have to build it all from scratch. It's not necessarily the easiest thing to build menus and stuff in XNA, since you have to do it all yourself. since Silverlight provides that. And since you can't mix the two, Silverlight's a good option for games that are really 2D, maybe like, you know, small puzzle-based, you know, card games, games without a lot of movement but would still look really nice with some simple animations that Silverlight provides for you. Action games, things like that, would probably be better off with XNA because menus probably aren't a big enough challenge to not use XNA because it's, you know, it's really made for those types of games.
Right. So if you were having to build Unite now as an external developer, which path do you think you would go down?
So Unite itself is, you know, kind of like a, you know, puzzle action type, you know, I guess the accelerometer kind of base game, and it worked really well in Silverlight. The menus were easy to do, but that only took a very minimal percentage of the development time, and so it probably would have been faster to create it in XNA without having to worry about kind of the graphic system of Silverlight and the layout and measure and range kind of progression that Silverlight uses versus just kind of the straight game loop that XNA uses.
Right. So. Okay. And I think one of the common requests from the developer community with respect to Silverlight and XNA is, you know, I'd like to be able to mix the two, right? I'd like to be able to have my game loop running in XNA, but then have my kind of main menu option available in Silverlight. And as you mentioned, that's not available today. It's clearly something we aspire to eventually to be able to allow people to mix and match. But today you do have to choose your UI layer at the outset, right?
Yeah, and for those, you know, some inexperienced developers that haven't done a lot yet, usually simpler games like puzzle games and things like that, card games, are easy to start off on, and Silverlight allows you to make them fairly quickly without having to worry about the UI. And they're pretty simple tasks, but just there's a lot to go through when you're dealing with that in an XNA game, and you can do them very, very quickly in a Silverlight-based game.
Right. So one of the things that is a defining feature of Windows Phone devices that both users and now developers are learning about is there's a hardware back button, right? So on the device, every single Windows Phone 7 device has a hardware back button that will take you back through the applications and even the within the applications that you've run on the phone. That's an interesting thing to have to deal with in a game, right?
Yeah, the back button doesn't really follow the regular flow behavior of an app where you really kind of have like a page-based system because you are kind of jumping in and out of menus and throughout different parts of the game. In that sense, you know, there's certainly general progression through some menus that makes sense for a page-based type UI. Once you get into the game, there's consideration. So, you know, when you want to jump out of the game, you don't want the user to lose their progress. And so you need to consider, well, when the back button is pressed, you need to kind of pop a confirmation or jump them into the pause menu, something that doesn't immediately force them back into a previous menu that'll lose everything.
Right.
And so in that sense, you know, popping a pause menu and allowing them to get back from there for a game is really a better thing to do than jumping them back to the main menu or something like that.
Right, and that's actually some guidance that we have in the certification requirements that people should go take a look at, again, at developer.windowsphone.com before submitting their game. And we have some very specific language in there to tell you about, you know, how to deal with the back button in games, because as Talon mentioned, it's a little bit different for games versus just regular apps, right? So that's something you're going to want to keep in mind.
Yeah.
So obviously, as soon as we talk about the back button and moving back and forth across applications, clearly the next topic that comes up is tombstoning.
Yes, tombstoning,
which is a favorite topic of developers out there in the community, and making sure they're dealing with it correctly. So how does tombstoning affect a game relative to, again, just a standard application?
So for application developers, tombstoning, although still a pretty difficult topic, is a little bit easier because you're just dealing with kind of static state within a page to have to worry about carrying over. For games, really the user needs to be able to jump back into the game immediately without any visual change. And so things like worrying about the animations that are in progress and restoring them, you know, mid-animation, especially in Unite, you know, when as balls are uniting and stuff, being able to return them back into the middle of the Unite and still have the progress and maintain, you know, how that affects if you've advanced to the next level or if, you know, what the current high score is and not overriding that. There's a lot of things in a game that are specific to kind of a action-based game, I guess, that don't really exist in turn-based or regular applications that you really have to consider because it makes the problem a lot more difficult and there's a lot more information to save.
So how did you specifically do that? You have all of this state for hundreds of objects and you need to persist that somehow. What method did you follow?
So in the case of Unite, there was, because it's not a like leaderboard-based game and it's just kind of got like a local leaderboard for your times and things like that, There were some shortcuts taken to kind of help with that, rather than having to restore animations mid-progress and things like that, so that you can shave off a couple of seconds if you really want to cheat yourself and things like that. But in general, there's being able to just kind of save all have a special state for each of those objects that can all get serialized out all at once, without having to worry about doing it individually for all the objects and things like that. Just, you know, kind of a common mechanism to save the state for all the objects in your game, rather than worrying about individually doing it for everything like you would in a Silverlight-based app or something like that.
So do you just serialize it out as one big?
So for this, it was really easy to just kind of serialize it as a byte array. Just take all the information that the objects represent and just serialize out into a byte array and just bring that back in, and it actually surprised perform, you know, pretty fast. Hmm. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, then I think we should do a demo of the game if people haven't seen it before, and get them excited to go out and grab it, because again, it's a free game. So let's take a look.
Okay, so for those who haven't seen it, here's Unite, and it's a pretty simple game with using the accelerometer to kind of move balls around the screen. So at the beginning, here's the first level. The objective of the game is to just kind of move these balls around the screen to get them to unite. And once all the balls have united, you get your high score for this level, and you can move on to the next one. So we'll jump into a later level here just to give you an idea of kind of some of the progression that you can see. So in this level, we have some switches and some doors. You know, there's a little bit more puzzle aspect involved, trying to get the balls to come out as the balls are uniting behind the doors that are opening and closing after these switches. And some even later ones that have some fun portals and things like that. But yeah, there's 22 levels in the game, and not too many. They get a little bit more difficult as time goes on. Some of the levels are semi-impossible, but still can be beaten. And that's Unite.
Cool. So, again, Unite is out there in the Windows Phone application marketplace, available for free. I think as of today, it's still one of the top 10 downloaded free apps, if I'm not mistaken.
Games, yeah.
So people should go out and grab that and play it. Don't be fooled. The first few levels are easy, but they get increasingly difficult. So keep
at
it.
And I do assure you that the last level can be beaten.
Yes. We've seen some reviews, people saying that the last level is impossible. Yes, we can confirm that it can be beaten, so keep at it. and hopefully some of the tips that we've talked about today with respect to building games on Windows Phone and things you might want to think about between Silverlight and XNA, and the use of the back button and so on, have been useful. And hopefully you'll go out and grab the tools and start building your own games and get them up on the marketplace. So thanks, Talon.
Thank you.
And thank you all for watching.